Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello and a very warm welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio. I'm Dave Williams. Tech Talk, of course, your regular source of accessible technology, reviews and interviews that we hope you can use. But of course, Tech Talk is nothing without you, and we're very keen to hear about your technology experiences, good and not so good. You can get in touch in the usual way by sending us an email. That address, it's techtalk@rnib.org.uk, T-E-C-H-T-A-L-K at rnib.org.uk. Coming up this time on Tech Talk, we'll be hearing from RNIB's Technology for Life team. I'll be speaking with Madeline Bloom, who will be sharing some technology that she uses in the kitchen. We are in conversation with Mark Stephen, the Managing Director of Optelec UK, and we'll be hearing how your emails are making a difference in the world of technology. Joining me as ever are our co-hosts, Tasneem Arshad and Callum Stoneman. A very warm welcome in both. Tasneem, do you use much technology in the kitchen?
Yeah, I love using my mini chopper and the smartphone.
Okay, well, we may be talking about that a little bit more later on. Callum, how about you?
I kind of do, yeah. I guess I'm a little bit on the basics, you know, the sort of talking scales, talking measuring jug. I did use the Echo Show recently for recipes. I was a bit sceptical about, but that went really well.
I use the Just Eat app. Well, we'll be talking more about that and plenty more besides this time on Tech Talk. Now, many of us will be used to using a colour detector to sort out our laundry so that we don't get, you know, our coloured wash mixed up with our white wash. But what about when it comes to using the machine itself? Modern machines have touchscreens and are very sophisticated. Well, Kawal is along now to demonstrate how she uses her smart washing machine.
Hello, everyone. My name is Kawal and I'm standing in front of my washing machine. This washing machine is the newer version of the Samsung Smart Dose washing machine. I've only had this for a week and I've learned a lot about it. This is a standard washing machine and I'm standing in front of it. There's a dial on here and there is a touch control panel, which I can't use as I have no vision, but with the help of SmartThings, I can open that app and control this washing machine without any vision, and everything is near enough available to me. I'm going to put this on a 15-minute wash, and I'm using VoiceOver on my iPhone 12 Pro, so I hope you'll be able to hear what I'm doing. I'm going to close the door, and when I close the door, there's a small panel on the door. You can press a button on it to add more washing just in case you forget to put something in when the washing machine has started. But I don't have that problem because I've loaded the washing machine with whatever I want and I've put the liquid softener in. And yesterday I filled up the drawer with about 6 cupfuls of powder, liquid powder. And you need to make sure that you do fill up this drawer with the powder, otherwise the washing machine just won't start working. So here we go. I shut the door like this and I'm going to trail my finger along the bottom edge of the washing machine because I don't want to touch any of the buttons that are on the washing machine, otherwise it'll start working without me knowing what's happening. Here in front of me I have the panel, and underneath my left index finger I have the letter Braille P for power. I'm going to turn that on and you will be able to hear the music. So now that the power's on, I will now go to my smart app. I've opened SmartThings.
SmartThings, my home button.
And now going to go into this app.
Add white button, pass more white button, favorites, heading, washing machine call, ready button.
I've got the washing machine icon and it says it's ready, so I double tap.
Washing machine call, ready. Navigate up button.
And
washing machine call, my home kitchen, More options. Button.
And going through the options.
Ready. Laundry recipe. MAINICLAUN. Mainstays.png. Mainstays.png. Laundry planner. Eco 40. 60.
And I've got to press this 40, 60. Otherwise, the washing machine cycle list won't come up. So I double tap on this.
Eco 40. 60.
And then I keep going,
smart control on your
and I'm going
off.
To select try using the 15-minute wash cycle because that's what I want.
Send to washer. Tap button. Rinse button. Spin button. My cycle list. Bubble soak button. Remaining laundry. My favorite button. Stay connect button. Cycle list. Edit. My cycle list. Eco 40. 60 energy usage button.
So I must press the Eco 60 energy usage. So
Eco 40. 60 energy usage.
And now I'm going to go to the 15-minute wash.
Wash lightly soiled. Drain slash spanner. 15-foot quick wash energy usage button.
It says 15-minute quick energy wash usage button.
15-foot quick wash energy usage.
And if I put my finger on the right-hand side of the iPhone, there's an OK button. So I need to double-tap it.
OK. My favourite.
And now I'm going to send to washer because that's the best way of doing this.
Navigate up. Washing machine hub. My home kitchen. More options. Image. Ready. Laundry recipe. MAINICLAUN. Mainstays all series. Laundry planner. 15-foot quick walk. Smart control on your watch. Try using send to washer button. Send to washer.
And now I've sent the program to the washer. And now I do now have to trail my finger along this panel on the washing machine and find the S in Braille for the start button and get it to work. So here we go. And it started. Hope that this demonstration has been useful. Thank you.
If you have a technology question, why not ask the Tech Talk team? Email now, techtalk@rnib.org.uk or tweet RNIB Radio using the hashtag AskTechTalk.
Now, we heard at the start of the show how much of a fan Dave is of the Just Eat app. But what if you want to get your head around cooking your own meals? Obviously, that can be a bit of a challenge when you're visually impaired. Well, next up, Dave Corb with Madeline Bloom from RNIB's Technology for Life team to hear what she uses and recommends.
Now, during that first lockdown in 2020, many of us got caught up in the bread-making frenzy. I remember it well, weighing out my flour on my talking kitchen scales, and that worked very well. But Madeline Bloom from RNIB's Technology for Life team, I think you're probably a little bit more useful than me in the kitchen. Tell us about some of the technology that you use to improve access to cooking.
Oh, hello, Dave. I've got a lovely bread maker as well. I've got a Samsung bread maker that I find quite accessible because it's all about accessible kitchen devices for me. And I think it's quite important that I don't just hold tight to devices that you can get in sort of shops like the RNIB shops, but I also want to buy mainstream devices that are just accessible out of the box. And I have a couple of them I just want to mention today. For example, I quite like, and a couple of other people in our family quite like, some meat made to perfection. And what I found quite annoying was previously I had to sort of fry my meat and I didn't know when it was done. And especially with steaks and sometimes with chicken, you just don't know exactly, you know, when it's the right temperature or when is it ready to consume. So I bought myself something called a Tefal Opti Grill. You can find it on websites like Amazon or any other web shops. And I can only give you an estimated price because they do change this every now and then. It's always around the £150 mark. I've seen it for £189 and I've seen it for £139. So make sure when you shop, you get a good deal. How do you have to imagine this piece of kit? It looks like a grill or like a sandwich maker. And it has like a little
tray. Yeah, like a bit like the George Foreman grills, that kind of idea.
I don't own one of those, but it's similar. It's very similar. And the idea here is you have programs for every type of meat or thing you might cook on there. So if you do a sandwich, you've got another program than, for example, if you do your chicken, your fish, or your bacon. One thing that really gives me a good reassurance is, A, it has a tactile design. I can feel the buttons. the program buttons feel different from your power button. The trays on the grill are very easy to pop on and pop off to put in your dishwasher to get washed. And it gives you an audible beep when the meat is getting ready. So you have one beep, two beeps, three beeps. If you wait longer, it gives you a bit of a melody and you know it's fully cooked through. So the people that are partially sighted amongst you, you have different colors on the device. So it would be orange, green, you know, for you to know your meat is ready.
Excellent. So that's the Tefal OptiGrill.
Yeah, it's a Tefal OptiGrill.
And it's the tactile buttons and the beeps that make it accessible.
For me, it is, definitely. It's a very easy setup and a very easy cooking with this device. And it's not made for blind people, but it's a very easy to use appliance, and I could not be without.
Brilliant. And of course, as you say, it's not just meat. It might be, you know, cheese on toast or something like that, or cheese toasted sandwich.
Or it might even be a bit of halloumi that you can put on there, and it works really well.
What did the cheese say to itself in the mirror? Hello, me. Anyway, moving swiftly on.
The next device I bought about a year and a half ago, it was also a sort of semi-lockdown state, was an Instant Pot. Now, I thought to myself at that time, I have enough of these devices in my kitchen. I don't need one more. Thank you very much. But I got persuaded and I got one of those. And I must say, my God, I'm really happy that I bought it again. I think it's £179. Please check offers or any deals on there. Amazon and all the other electronic shops sell those devices. You can get it in three different sizes. You can get a 2 liter, a 6 liter or an 8 liter pot, depending on what family or how many people you have to feed. And it's very accessible because all the buttons in front of the unit are easy to feel. It requires you to remember what button does what. A way I do with all of these sort of devices, because even if I think, oh, I will remember this, if I don't use this for 6 months, chances are very high I might forget it. So I just put myself a little note somewhere in a shared sort of virtual location that I can easily access, something like your Dropbox or your Google Drive, and you can always access it when necessary. So get one's assistant or, you know, check on the internet what button does what, and you'll soon know what button to press to actually get your air fryer to do your chips to perfection or to do your curry in a pot as well. Now, this is the thing that sold it for me. I love cooking curries and things like that. And I used to cook them on a gas stove. I used to use a pressure cooker on a gas stove. It worked quite often. And every now and then it sort of didn't work that well. And it burned a little or, you know. And this Instant Pot is working perfectly. Because if it sticks to the floor or to the bottom of the unit, it gives you an audible beep. So you know you need to give it a little stir, and you just find out quite easily what the pot wants from you if it does all those different audible sounds.
So it's a bit like a pressure cooker. So it's, again, like the grill. It's a standalone device that you plug into the wall and you sit on your kitchen top. And then, I mean, is it a bit like a slow cooker, Madeline?
It's a multi-pot. So it does multiple functions. It can slow cook. It can pressure cook, it can bake, it can be an air fryer, and there are millions of more functions.
Wow, and there are recipe books as well, I believe.
Yes, there are recipe books as well. You can get them on Kindle or otherwise. You can also ask your Alexa to give you a recipe for your Instant Pot, and it will do so.
Excellent. So is it Instapot or Instant
Pot? Instant.
Instant Pot. Okay. Mm-hmm. So definitely check that out. Which one did you get out of interest? You said there were three sizes.
Yeah, I got the Instant Pot 8 litres Duo Crisp.
Okay. And again, you like it because of the sort of the tactile buttons and the fact that it beeps to tell you when it needs a bit of a stir.
Exactly. Well, not just because of it needs a stir. It beeps when I close the pots. It beeps when it needs to be stirred. The buttons bleep when I press them down. So there are quite a lot of audible functions that help me to use this pot.
And that's reassuring, isn't it? As you know, as a blind person, when you press a button, sometimes there's a moment of uncertainty. It's a bit like, you know, when you put the washing machine on, you press the button and there's that sort of second of uncertainty before you hear a ka-chunk and the washing machine actually starts.
I put mine on with my mobile phone, so I can't comment. But yeah, exactly. That's it, yeah.
Well, we'll talk about the smart washing machine at another point. So is there anything else that you want to share with us in terms of the kitchen?
I've got another product, and it's a bit harder to get a hold of, but if you can, it's great. It's called a Thermomix, and it's by a company called Vorwerk, Vorwerk. It was another of those products that I believe would just occupy some space in the kitchen, and I will never, ever use. Well, I think I use this every single day now. It can mix, it can heat, it can blend, it can do all sorts of things. But it's more a thing that I would use if I want to chop onions or garlic, or if I want to prepare an iced coffee, things like that. And the thing I like about it is it's very sturdy, and it has easy to feel buttons or wheels on it. And the thing I have to say about this one, the model that we can use, is not the newest model. The newest model is a touchscreen device. I have spoken to a couple of representatives for that company to kind of highlight the point that blind and partially sighted people would love to use the latest model, but I haven't come very far until now. So the unit that you would have to get would be a previous model they had a few years ago.
So we are talking about the TM31 Thermomix, which is a sort of a multi-purpose, I want to say a food processor. Is that fair?
That's what it is, yes.
Yeah, okay. And again, it's got lots of little inclusive design cues, like the sort of tactile controls and so on.
It does, and it just allows you to steam your vegetables and food or your meat if you want to, and chop your ingredients, you know, without getting your hands chopped. I don't know, it's quite easy to use, and it's one of those things I definitely don't want to miss in my kitchen.
Sure. So do your research, make sure you're getting one of the models that doesn't have the touchscreen, because some of the more recent ones do, so maybe a little bit trickier to find. So the Thermomix, the OptiGrill, and your Instant Pot. Well, fantastic. Well, they sound like a great collection of products. And Madeline, if people want to know a little bit more about those, or they want to just kind of quiz you, the kind of curious, what's the best way to get in touch?
Well, in that case, I would say please just drop me an email or get in touch with me via Tech for Life, but ask for me, because whilst these are products, you know, I like to talk about, it's nothing that, you know, I share with, you know, with everyone from the team. So just get in touch with me via RNIB, and I'm more than happy to talk more about this.
Excellent. Well, we'll give that contact information in a minute. I just wanted to circle back to the washing machine, because you made a comment earlier that you start your washing machine using an app on your phone. Why do you do that?
I had a very basic washing machine until about a year ago, and there were various things wrong with it, and I got really fed up, and I decided, okay, it is high time I need to dive into the market of smart washing machines. So I did a bit of research, and yeah, I'm admitting I'm a fan of German products. I might want to say I'm biased. Maybe it's that because I'm German, but I genuinely like these products. So I did, at the time, with great expense, buy a tumble dryer and a washing machine of Miele. I called them. I must say the whole experience was quite nice, because they were quite friendly. Customer services were very helpful. They did explain how the washing machine was looking like, because I wanted to know about their tactile wheels and, you know, how I can, you know, start things. And they were quite good about it all. Do you own a Miele washing machine, Dave?
We've got a Siemens, but I have seen the Guideline machine. Yep. But what I want to know is, you've gone for this Miele washing machine with the app that you can control it from the app. Why did you go for that particularly? Why do you want to be able to control your washing machine from an app?
I went for this washing machine simply because it has something called a twin DOS washing system. So I can put washing liquid and, you know, it's like a cartridge into the washing machine, and it just takes it and it alerts me when it's nearly empty. And I wanted something new. I wanted to experience how I can use a smart washing machine with my phone. And to be honest, one of the real reasons that really gave me, that I found quite exciting was I was fed up of studying the screen with someone, making myself notes, what program is where. And I just have my app now and all the programs that I can choose from and every option I can choose from, it's highlighted in the app. So I actually feel really included when I wash my clothes or when I tumble dry my clothes, because I can see all the options on my phone.
Fantastic. So it's all about accessibility. It's more accessible for you.
It is.
Controlling that with the app. Fantastic. Well, thank you very much, Madeline. Just remind us of the contact information if anybody is interested in accessible appliances in the kitchen or the laundry or anywhere else in the home. What's the best way to contact Technology for Life?
Yeah, just call the R&IB via the helpline number on 0303 123 9999 and ask for the Technology for Life team.
Madeline Bloom from Technology for Life, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, if you've been paying attention, you will, of course, be aware that I'm not the greatest in the kitchen, but I do some things. And I'd like to know from Callum Stoneman and Tasneem Arshad what you do and what technology in particular you find helpful and useful in the kitchen. So let's start with you, Callum.
The kitchen is actually the one area in my house where I've gone a little bit more on the low-tech side, to be honest. Not intentionally, but I just haven't found much particularly high-tech stuff that I find helpful. So I've got the Talking kitchen scales, which I love. Talking measuring jug as well, I find that really useful. But other than that, I mean, my microwave isn't particularly tactile. I've just put bump-ons on there. Same with the oven. You know, I've put bump-ons around the oven to make that accessible. And then for a more general household tasks, I mean, we were talking about washing earlier. I definitely haven't got a smart washer. Again, I've just got a standard washer. I just put a couple of bump-ons on the dial. But something that I find really useful is colour catchers. You know, we were talking earlier about not getting colours mixed up. And these are just little tiny, kind of thin sheets of paper, I guess. And you just put one of those in with your wash. You know, they're not guaranteed. They won't fix everything. But if you want that sort of peace of mind, you know, if you've accidentally put something white in with your darks or whatever, then they will help you out, and they've stopped me ruining a couple of shirts before now.
Tasneem, is there any technology that you'd like to have in the kitchen?
There was something called the iMate, which was around quite some time ago, and it's a recent discovery that I've learned about, but actually it no longer is available. So that would be amazing if an updated version of that could come out. It's a scanning device to help you identify barcodes, and it reads out the full product of whatever barcode it scans.
Right, a talking barcode scanner. I guess some people are using apps for that kind of thing these days.
I do use the Envision app, actually, to identify products. But I think that for people who don't have a smartphone and would prefer just to have a device that would just read out the product information, I think that would be equally really helpful for a lot of people.
Yeah, particularly when your hands are wet or dirty or whatever and you're trying to use a touch screen, that's a nightmare. Callum, I'm going to come back to you because you mentioned sticking bump-ons on your oven, and we've done that as well. Our microwave, it's just a, you know, sort of cheap and cheerful rotary dial microwave. There isn't even an eject button, as I think of it. You just pull the door open and then you've got two dials, one clicky one for the different sort of power levels and then one for the timer. But I tend to use the A-Lady to set a timer. And then During COVID, and I was working from home quite a lot, I actually got myself a really nice bean-to-cup coffee machine made by De'Lungi. And again, I was able to find a device with no touch screens and physical, you know, controls that I can use tactily. Is that a consideration for you always when you're buying appliances?
Yeah, I always try to. I mean, our microwave is touchscreen, but luckily, you know, we've put up a couple of bump-ons. We've got a bump-on on, like, the number 5, so then, you know, it's got the numbers for setting the time, and I know that, you know, the 5, if I need to set, like, 2 minutes, I can just find the 5 and then sort of go further up. It's a tough one nowadays because everything, it seems to be going touchscreen, and, you know, we've had that microwave for a number of years, but if we were buying a new one, I think, I don't think I would go online and look at it. I think it's one of them ones where I'd have to go in store and kind of, I guess, have a feel around, you know, and find ones that are accessible. It is a bit of a challenge nowadays, unfortunately. And it's such a simple thing, but yeah, everything's going touchscreen.
I agree with you, Callum. I equally have the same, just not a touchscreen microwave, but a normal dial one. And I've got bump-ons on that and the oven as well. And I find that really helpful. But in terms of my washing machine, what I use is my smartphone for that. So basically, I have the instructions on the notes section. So whenever I'm needing to change to, say, you know, a hand wash setting or a 60 degree or a 40 degree, and I've forgotten which way to turn the dial and what number it is, it's a mainstream one. It's not a specifically designed for visually impaired, but I've got that notes section to go back to, and I can just look at what the settings are and then turn the dial accordingly on the washing machine. And I find that really helpful.
Callum, you mentioned you had a talking measuring jug. Why would you have a talking measuring jug?
I just found it easier because I did have a tactile one for a while. That was just a standard measuring jug, and it came with like a little plastic braille insert.
Like a ruler, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, like a ruler. Yeah, you just sort of put that over and then you can feel, you know, the water level. But I just kind of found that, well, sometimes, to be honest, I'd lose the little piece of braille when I came to use it, which wasn't ideal. But I mean, that's just me. Yeah, just the talking one, you know, it's kind of built in, and I feel like I'm more accurate with that. You know, I feel a bit more confident rather than me trying to feel it and sort of judge it. I just feel like the talking one, it telling me, is a bit more accurate.
If you need some help or advice with using technology in your kitchen or anywhere else for that matter, you can, of course, contact RNIB's Technology for Life team. The phone line is open Monday to Friday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And that telephone number, it's 0303 123 9999. That's 0303 123 9999. Or you can drop them a line to tfl@rnib.org.uk. tfl@rnib.org.uk. Tasni Marshad, Callum Stoneman, thanks very much. Still to come on Tech Talk, we will be hearing from Mark Stephan, the Managing Director of Optelec UK. We'll be reading some of your emails. And don't forget, of course, it's your technology programme and your chance to share your experiences is very welcome here. So please do get in touch, techtalk@rnib.org.uk, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. I'm Dave Williams, and I'm joined now by Mark Stephan, who is the Managing Director of Optelec UK. Welcome in, Mark. I can't believe there's anybody out there who doesn't know Optelec, but just in case, give us a little bit of an overview.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so like you said at the beginning, I'm the Managing Director. Although the company's called Optelec, we have 3 brands that we manufacture. So obviously we have Optelec, we have Freedom Scientific, and we have Enhanced Vision. And all 3 of those brands have 2 kind of functions. So it's either electronic magnification, so basically using a camera and a screen to enlarge text. By that, I mean physical material, so newspapers, letters, books, that type of thing, to make it much, much bigger. And the other side of it is text-to-speech. So, again, using the same sort of technology minus the screen So it will take a picture of the text that you want to be able to read, be it a letter or a newspaper or whatever you want. And then it will just read that text back to you. And yeah, we've been established since 1975. So as you say, a lot of people, I think, probably know who we are. But if not, that just gives you a bit of a snapshot.
Fantastic. Well, it's not often I get to speak with a technology company that's older than myself. So fantastic. So I remember back in the day, the way we used to use cameras and screens to magnify, you'd have something about the size of an old CRT monitor up on a stand, and you'd have a board underneath, and you'd have to put your book on there and move that around. And we called it a CCTV. And of course, not to confuse it with security, the industry has now moved to using the term video magnifier. So you've got handheld devices and desktop devices, presumably.
Absolutely, yeah. So we have products that fit in your pocket that you can carry around with you, through to sort of tablet size products that are usually about a 10-inch screen, all the way through to desktop machines, which obviously are, yeah, smaller than what you've described, but the same principle. So, yeah, a screen, and then you'd have a camera looking at that text, magnifying it onto the screen.
Now, I know a lot of partially sighted people listening to this will be thinking, well, I can sort of do, you know, a crude video magnifier with the camera viewfinder on the phone. Clearly, there are limitations with that. What would be the benefits of going for a dedicated video magnifier over trying to sort of improvise something with your smartphone camera?
The main advantage, I would say, or advantages, I would say, are that you've got a dedicated device that's designed for a very specific job. As you quite rightly pointed out, you can get things like apps and so on, and some of the built-in accessibility is really good on a lot of the products now. But you'll see a clear difference between what you see on the screen, say with your iPad, versus what you would see on one of the products that I might mention later on called the Ruby. And the other limiting factor is things like the actual level of magnification. So when you're talking about a smartphone or a tablet, you're limited by the screen size of the device, whereas with a lot of our products, they tend to have a larger screen. So you're going to get a clearer image. And much larger screen. So you're going to see more text on the screen, which is, yeah, what everybody wants.
And of course, the other issue with your phone is if you've got the camera on and the light on, you're caning the battery. And then when you need to make a call, you've got no battery left.
Yeah, that is also a situation that I think most people are familiar with. I always kind of liken it to sort of going back to the early 2000s when you had a mobile phone and then you had a digital camera. Obviously, you could still take the pictures with the mobile phone, but they were never going to be as good as your digital camera. And I think we're kind of at that stage now with assistive technology, specifically with electronic magnifiers, where, yes, in theory, you could do magnification with a device such as an iPad or an iPhone, but there are also barriers of entry. Obviously, the cost of things have kind of come down slightly, and also just the assumptive knowledge that somebody knows how to use, say, an iPad or an iPhone. So it definitely has got its advantages in having a dedicated reader, yeah, or magnifier that you can use for hours on end without having to worry too much about, yeah, the battery.
And presumably the ergonomics of a dedicated video magnifier are designed, you know, for more kind of manual use. Some of those devices have buttons on them, you know, which are quite tactile, and that can sometimes help, you know, with getting oriented or if you're holding the device for a long time. And of course, it's free from interruptions as well. You haven't got to worry about, you know, notifications and things kind of popping up in the middle of your screen and all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Ergonomics is a big one. So a lot of our transportable products, and including some of the pockets, they have a built-in stand that allows you to place the magnifier onto the text, and it holds it at a nice angle of about 45 degrees. So when you're using it, you're not having to sort of try and hover it above the page at the correct angle. It's held and fixed in place. And there's obviously a number of benefits to that, main one being that the text isn't going to be sort of jumping around and moving as you're moving your hands, but also the clarity of the text. So when we look at things like focus, it's always going to be in crisp focus when you're talking about an electronic magnifier. Whereas a lot of the time when you're using a mobile phone or a tablet, you sometimes have to fight with the autofocus. I think there probably are settings where you can sort of lock it, but again, it's only locking it in one place as opposed to being able to move it closer or further away without it going out of focus.
And you mentioned in the introduction a bit about text-to-speech and devices that have character recognition built in. Tell us about those products.
So that's come on leaps and bounds, literally only in the last couple of years. Up to a couple of years ago, what you would tend to have is, again, sort of a desktop unit. They're very small. I always struggle to give people sort of an idea of the size, but I'd say the size of like a small shoebox, that kind of size. And the idea there is that you would have a camera that flicks out, that enables you to put the book underneath it. You take the picture, it's got really tactile buttons, and then it reads that back to you, which is great, but it's not so great if you're out and about. So one of the products that we don't actually manufacture, but we're a master distributor for in the UK, is a company called Orcam. And they released a product called the Orcam Read, which is essentially, it's a pocket size product, so similar size to a dry white marker. And what that enables you to do is the same thing. It's got a small camera in it, point it at whatever text you want to read. It can be a sign, it could be some prices in a shop or a book or whatever. You just take the picture and it instantly reads it back. And it's important to recognize that it is almost instant. It's not relying on the internet like you would have with a phone where it's needing to process it or send the data somewhere. And it's not storing any of that data. And that's been, well, it's been a game changer because it means that you can carry around something that's text-to-speech in your pocket. Up to a couple of years ago, that was, yeah, the only real option probably would have been the mobile phone app. So, yeah, that's been, I would suggest a game changer in the industry. It's one of those products where you can hand it to somebody and instantly, as soon as they understand where the trigger button is to take the picture, they're away kind of thing. There's almost no learning curve with it. One of our own products that we recently released is the Ruby 10. That's branded as a Freedom Scientific product. The thing that's interesting with that is there's a couple of patent pending designs on it. One of them is called Edge Enhancement. And again, it's difficult to describe, but I'll do my best. If you imagine if you, as an example, you had macular degeneration, so glare was an issue. If you put a photograph underneath any of our products and inverted the colours, it's only ever going to show you, as an example, black or white. And yeah, you can imagine a photo doesn't look that great. So we're not talking grayscale like a black and white photo. We're talking true black and brilliant white. What Edge Enhancement does is it looks, and it doesn't have to be a photo, it can be text. A good example of that would be a newspaper. And you press this button, and what it does is it puts an outline around objects. So it enables people that maybe have glare issues to be able to reduce that glare further. So if you were looking at, as an example, a newspaper and you were looking at it and it's the background's kind of grey and the text is almost black, you can press a button and it puts it into high contrast mode. So it turns the background jet black and the text brilliant white. But that still can be a little bit glary for some people. So what the engineers have designed is this button, when you press it, when you're looking at text, it outlines the text and the inside of the letter becomes black. So all you end up with is the outline of the word. And as a sighted person, which I am, when you look at it, you think, well, yeah, does that really make much difference? But the feedback that we get from people and obviously all the testing that we did, it has a dramatic impact on whether somebody's able to read text or not in that negative view. So it basically just enables more people to be able to read text that sometimes, you know, newspaper print's not always printed brilliantly, but yeah, it just gives you that outline. And again, that would be something I think I would recommend people come and have a look at.
The world of video magnification always seems to me to be very busy. You know, when I go to Site Village, there's a sea of video magnifiers. How do you stand out?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think pretty much the biggest thing with us is level of service. So we have guys on the road that can demonstrate these products in people's own homes, and the approach is very much kind of altruistic. So when I took over the company a couple of years ago, the theme that I wanted to sort of permeate throughout is a problem solved. So when people say to us they want a video magnifier, we don't tend to talk to them too much about features and high contrast and high definition, HDMI. We look at the problem that somebody's got And yeah, we try and solve that. And the nice thing about Optilec is because we've got these three brands, we really do have a product for more or less anything. I don't think we haven't come across anything yet where somebody's wanted to magnify and not been able to. And a good example of that would be, we had a gentleman a few months ago that was building model boats. So he wanted to be able to magnify the parts that he was gluing or painting. And you could achieve that with a portable magnifier, but of course it's not on a stand. You're holding it, hovering it, it ends up a little bit awkward. And also the level of magnification that he needed was quite, yeah, it was huge. So Enhanced Vision have got a product that basically, for all intents and purposes, is a monitor with a camera on an arm. And then you can just angle it to exactly where you want. It stays there. And then he could look at the screen and be able to do, yeah, what he needs to do. So I think really our USP is the level of customer service that we offer people, and also the variety of products that we've got. Because there are, when you look even within our sort of family of products, you could easily look at it and think, well, what makes that product different from this product? So the product that I just mentioned a moment ago is the Ruby 10. We already have a 10-inch product. So you could say, well, what's the difference? Well, a key difference with the Ruby 10 versus our other 10-inch product, which is the Compact 10, it has tactile buttons. So for some people, touchscreen is, yeah, not exactly an alien concept, but it's maybe not as intuitive as having actual tactile buttons. So that was one of the things that we introduced. The other thing with both of those 10-inch products, both of them have, is they have a fold-out arm that comes to the side. So these 10-inch products, you can imagine they're kind of just a little bit thicker than an iPad, but they're that kind of size. But you've got an arm that flicks out to the right, and that enables you then to be able to write underneath it or do full A4 text-to-speech, or maybe if you were doing arts and crafts. And the flexibility that gives people is huge, because it means that you don't have to have this great big machine. If you want to be able to write something or paint, you can just use, a portable product. And yeah, as far as I'm aware, that's kind of, yeah, unique in the market.
What's the best way to really get hands-on with the Ruby 10 or the new Orcam device?
What I would recommend is you can follow us on social media. If you search for Optilec UK, you should find us on Facebook. Is probably the most prominent thing that platform that we're using. And we have events up and down the UK, literally everywhere. So there's an opportunity for people to come in and actually try the products for themselves. But if somebody wants to be able to actually see whether it's going to solve their issue, what I'd recommend is go to our website. And the website is lowvisionshop.co.uk. And on there, you can actually book in a free home demonstration. So what will happen is you go on there, give us your contact information, and then the person that covers your area will call you up, have a chat over the phone, decide kind of what they think might be suitable for you, and then they can bring them to your home. And you can try them with your own material, with obviously no obligation and or pressure. And then you can decide for yourself then. And I kind of suggest to people, I think that's probably the best way to do it, because I love going to these events, the site villages and all the events that we do. It's fantastic. But sometimes it can be a little bit overwhelming. So it's nice to be able to have somebody on the end of the phone that can just recommend. And it could be that the solution that you're looking for is something that we could literally just send to you. We do have a 30-day money-back guarantee on all the products. So if somebody wanted to try it, they can basically try it for a month and see how they get on. But yeah, if they want hands-on, I think the best thing to do is, yeah, ask us to come and show you what we've got. But we'll always have a call beforehand just to identify exactly what problem we're trying to solve for you.
Some folks listen to us on Freeview, channel 730, and may struggle a bit with the web. So do you want to just give the telephone number, Mark?
Absolutely. It's a free telephone number, and it's 0800 145 6115.
Excellent. Mark Statham from Optilec UK, we really appreciate your time and persevering with us through some technical problems. Thanks very much.
No problem. It's a pleasure. Take care. Thanks, Dave.
We've had an email come flooding in from Brian Gaff, no less. Good to know you're listening, Brian. And Brian points out that he finds while using the What3Words app, VoiceOver tends to run the words together a little bit, and it's quite hard to read those individually. Not sure if you can do that with your rotor, Brian, and turn the rotor around to read by word and arrow down. Anyway, we've passed on Brian's feedback to the folks at What3Words, who are absolutely delighted to receive it, and they are going to look at making some changes. So it does make a difference. If you hear something on Tech Talk and you want to feed back, then please do so. One person who contacted us by phone is Anthony Froggatt, who was particularly interested to explore mobility technology. As you'll hear, Anthony's a huge fan of the Sunu band and had some interesting observations about echolocation. We're always delighted to hear from listeners at Tech Talk, and you can, of course, drop us a line, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. But maybe email isn't your preferred format, and if you'd like to get in contact, why not call the RNIB helpline, 0303 123 9999. Perhaps ask to speak with the Technology for Life team, and they can help you get in touch. And somebody who has done just that is Anthony Froggatt, and Anthony joins me on the line now. Hello, Anthony. Welcome to Tech Talk. Fantastic to have you with us.
It is. It's my first time on Tech Talk.
Well, I'm glad you could make it. Now, you contacted us because you were particularly interested in mobility devices. So not so much apps on your phone, but particular devices that you might use to help when out and about.
Yes, that's correct.
Tell us about some of the things that you've used that you found to be helpful.
Basically, I've used the Walkmate, which is made by a German company called InnoTech.
And what did the Walkmate do?
It was similar to the haptic Sunu band wristwatch, but you wore it just above your breastbone. And it basically had two ways of you using it. One, you could just use the sound effects on the Walkmate. Two, you could attach a special device to it, which takes a couple of batteries, I think it was, if I remember rightly, from the 90s. And it was haptic feedback as well as audible feedback.
Okay, so Walkmate was a classic device, probably not made anymore if it goes back to the 90s. You mentioned their Sunu band. You just want to tell everyone what Sunu band is?
Yes, Dave. The Sunu band is basically a haptic wristwatch, and I'm told it's black in colour. And it's got a speaker on the left side and a tactile arrow on the right side. But you put it on the opposite wrist to your long cane. And it is not to be used without a white cane or a guide dog.
And what does it do?
Basically, on its own, it does haptic feedback, indoor haptic feedback, which is 1.5 meters.
So it vibrates if you come within 1.5 meters of an obstacle?
Yes. And the outdoor range, that is 2.5 meters.
Fantastic.
That's just over 6 feet outside. But if it's paired up to an iPhone, such as iOS or Android, TalkBack, basically it can speak to you and you can program routes into it and you can tell the time haptically in like a talking watch. Essentially, I think it cost me about $259.99 from VisionAid Tech 2 years ago.
And do you use it regularly?
Yes, I wouldn't be without it. And the reason why I got into it finally in the end was you've got social distancing when the pandemic was in full swing, where it was a legal requirement.
All right, Anthony, we appreciate you coming on and sharing some of those products. Any final thoughts?
I would like to say, anybody who has touchscreen phones, there are apps built in the phone, such as the Sunu Band app, if people wish to try it. I know it's popularly used in America. and it's starting to be used in the UK more frequently by people with little and no sight. I've been blind since birth, and I must admit, I'm one of these rare people which can actually use sound reflective echolocation, which is tongue clicks. Each time you turn your head, a series of tongue clicks, it's a natural resource, but it can be distracting in a building for sighted people. But when you're outside, I still find a use for it. And there's a blind guy in America called Daniel Kish, which teaches that to people in the UK over Zoom, I think, and Microsoft Teams. Because the RNIB do not teach sound reflective echolocation. And I feel it's a very vital tool for today's blind people, even more so. You can hear lampposts and all sorts when you go past it. Hedgerows, you can hear when there's an arch above a building, if it's safe to walk through, or if there's a wheelie bin or a curve edge, if you tilt your head to one side. I actively use it, and it's cut down my head accidents in recent times.
You find echolocation to be a valuable skill that you think more blind people could benefit from?
Yes, but I don't believe it's officially taught in the UK. I've spoke to guide dogs and the RNIB guide dog and mobility unit, as it was at the time, but I don't think it exists now, currently.
Yeah, I think most mobility training now, Anthony, is delivered through local sensory impairment teams, you know, as part of rehab support, which, you know, I know can be quite patchy depending on where you live.
Yes, it can be. But there's one more thing I'd like to say about sound reflective echolocation. There is an app, and Blind Abilities were trialling it 3 years ago. And the app, it was very poor sound quality on iOS. I've actually heard the app being put through its paces over the internet and Alexa. And since then, I've actively remembered the skill and retaught it. It's not difficult. Blind and sighted people can do it equally the same, from a study I heard from last year.
Well, thank you very much, Anthony Froggatt, Tech Talk listener. We appreciate you getting in touch with the programme. And don't forget, if you would like to join us here on Tech Talk, or you've got products that you would like to share with listeners, then you can get in touch. Email techtalk@rnib.org.uk, or you can call our helpline 0303 123 9999 and ask to speak with our Technology for Life team, who I'm sure can help you with getting messages through to Tech Talk. Anthony Froggatt, thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave.
And that about wraps it up for this time on Tech Talk. We will, of course, return next week when we'll be hearing from Sandra Geyer, who is a professional singer and creative, and the role that technology plays in her work. And we'll also be hearing about RealSam in Your Pocket, a portable device for accessing a world of content. Callum Stoneman, Tasnee Marshad, thank you so much for your contributions this week. It's been good to have you with us.
Thank you, and see you soon.
Thank you. Bye from me.
And from me, Dave Williams. Bye for now.